Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Let's open the book of Proverbs together, please. Everybody, please open the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to start with this verse. Proverbs 1, verse 7. It's going to be on your screen. It's in your Bible. I want you to highlight this. I always encourage people, please open your Bibles. Whether there is a Bible you brought, which I am going to very much always encourage, bring your Bibles to church. If you need a physical Bible, we've got them in the room. You can use an electronic one, certainly. But let's just read this out loud together. It's on the screen. Let's read it together. Ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You heard Marta share her storyline around that. And the message that she had, you heard the scripture reading already through the first seven verses. This is obviously an intro to the book of Proverbs. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be doing this. So let me make sure you understand how life works. So today is a bit of an introduction day with a major point to it. During the academic year of our church, we typically take, and this is what we started this pattern this past year, and we are going to continue for the next few years, but during the academic year, we take in a major slice of God's great plan and understanding. We call it the book of Jesus. How does Jesus become the cornerstone of everything? Colossians 1:15, he's the visible image of the invisible God. That was the entire academic year in all the parts and pieces, and we built a spiritual wall, or we built a theological wall in that. I've actually led some small groups through that. I could still lead one of your small groups through that this summer for your test. But that's the academic year. And then we sort of finished that, and then Heather preached on Mother's Day out of Proverbs 31, which really, in reality, fits in this series. But it was kind of the bridge into a new venture. And then Kevin, thank you, Kevin, for preaching through 2 John and really the writings of John, but focusing on 2 John for 4 Sundays in a row. Starting today, we're going to walk through some, and I mean some, of the Proverbs. Proverbs is not a particularly well-understood book. It's known as a book of sayings and things of that nature. I actually often call it like counseling preaching. It's my own preaching life. I'm no academic or preaching professor, but I've sort of divided up preaching often as, and the way I like to do it is, I'm going to give you the grand scheme of God so that you can really not just understand that one small passage, but that you can understand all the other parts of the Bible, which is why the Book of Jesus series was so important. But then I also call another style of preaching counseling preaching. And that's a really common style of preaching. In other words, I'm going to pull out a topic and I'm going to give you my advice on this subject. Whether it's lots of things, marriage and parenting and school and anger and la, 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 all the other kinds of things. Those are totally doable and needed preaching. Frankly, most preaching in the world, it tends to be a lot more counseling preaching than it does to understanding how the pieces of everything fits together. That's not a really heavily critique of other preachers, other than it's a critique of me a lot. But that's the way we're moving into. The academic year, we do this. In the summer, we're going to turn to some specialized kinds of pieces, which essentially are kind of like counseling. But it's not human counseling, it's God's counseling to us. And so this year, for the first in this series of summers, we're turning to the book of Proverbs. Probably next summer, we're going to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Probably 2 summers from now, we're going to walk through the book of Job and its incredible counseling that it gives. So it kind of gives you an idea where we're going with that. But for the next 8 to maybe 9 weeks, we're going to deal with some of the Proverbs. Now, if you're like me, when you open the Bible and you say, I'm going to read something, I have a pattern of which I read. If you follow The Interview, which is our Lifeways newsletter, anybody can get on this, by the way. in this room or online, just go on your phone right now, sign up, or write us a note if you're in the building, or get online and write a note. I want to join the interview, as we call it. But a while back, I kind of talked about how to read your Bible and that sort of thing, kind of patterns that might be helpful. But in the process of that, I typically, almost always in my own personal reading, will read a psalm or a Proverbs or an Ecclesiastes, actually, kind of the wisdom literature, as we call it. I read Old Testament, New Testament, gospel story, and then pick up on one of the wisdom literatures. Proverbs fits is what we traditionally call wisdom literature. That's the classic term that it is there. It is ultimately gives us direction and wisdom for our real daily lives. What are you encountering? And there's a proverb that often speaks to it. There's literally, I haven't counted them, I think there's a couple hundred quotes at least in there about multiple kinds of directions and pieces of life. A little background on Proverbs. You may not even really be that familiar with Proverbs, because if you're familiar with reading the Bible as a story set, like the gospel stories, Jesus walked on water, Jesus turned water into wine, Jesus, you know, fed the 5,000, whatever it is, those kind of story sets, and even in the Old Testament you have story sets, Noah and the ark, and Abraham and, you know, and Isaac, and on and on and on. You have storylines, but Proverbs is not a story. It's quotes. It's sayings. It's quips. Some of the great theologians out there, that's what they would call those sometimes, sort of like pithy statements is one of the theologians would often even call it. Just meaning, here's a wise saying about anger. Here's a wise saying about parenting. Here's a wise saying about money, et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on and on and on. I sort of gone through my own Bible and sort of identified. This one speaks to God and my money. This one speaks to God and my family. This one speaks to God and my temper. This one speaks to God and my use of my tongue. This one speaks to God and the government. This one speaks to God and, you know, it has all these different kind of pieces and parts. That's kind of Proverbs. So it doesn't read the same as a story set at all. Now, it's broken up a little bit in that way, but I'll give you a little bit of a background. So Proverbs most of the time is identified, and again, this is very introductory this morning, but Proverbs is most of the time identified with Solomon. And he wrote most of these. Maybe not all of them, but he wrote most of them. Solomon, who is he? He's the son of David, the king, the most famous king in Israel throughout history. And he was the one that established the temple. There's a lot of very famous things. Super wealthy, super smart, and he prayed for wisdom. You can read that story for yourself in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3. God, I've got all these things, and this has been given to me. What I'm really, really asking for you is wisdom. That's in 1 Kings 3. But when he asked that story, we also understand that he obeyed God and listened to God, and he had incredible things to say, and he's super wise. He also, Solomon was not always the banner child of, you know, church membership either sometimes. He did a lot of strange things along the way, which some people say, well, how could Solomon write a man who we revered in one day and then really did not in another day? How do you put that in and say, this is God's word? Well, I just, number one, I think that's the way God works. Number two is God still used this vessel. And ultimately, these are God's words, not really Solomon's words. But Solomon was considered one of the most wealthy men of the world ever. He had power, influence, relationships, strength over nations around him like Egypt and many other nations that were famous in those days. But God used him to make a point to us. And put for God to make a point, God used him to pin these things down to say, let me tell you the most valuable things. Solomon would say, if anybody understood value of lots of things, it would be me. I know what it means to follow great, to be wealthy. To wealth to the point, now some of you in this room, you might say, well, I'm this or I'm this on the wealth scale. Some of you are certainly better off than others or whatever. But this is a person that knew no boundaries. Sometimes you think about the super wealthy of our world. They don't know boundaries. The question is not, can you buy something? That's irrelevant. What does it cost? Does it matter? Wealth in that way was astounding in every way. But you'll find out in Solomon, in his own life, he struggled with the exact same things that you and I did, which, by the way, is the book of Ecclesiastes. But in the Proverbs, he writes many of these things down and says, I'm still struggling, so let me tell you how I've wrestled with this piece. And God revealed to him some wise sayings. So how do you read Proverbs? There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Heather preached in Proverbs 31, as we said on Mother's Day, which was a phenomenal message. You need to go back. And frankly, it does tie into this series very much so. But the real simple formula for Proverbs, if you're trying to understand it, and by the way, I didn't ask you this, but you can take notes. I have notes in the back. I didn't mention this early on, but if you want true notes from what I'm giving, just raise your hand and Jeff will stand back there and give you some. But they're on that back table. But in Proverbs 1 through 9, what you have is sort of the introduction of the value of great wisdom. Proverbs 10 to 29 is that middle section, which is quite large, which really teaches the sayings that are all over the board. It's really hard to read Proverbs in sometimes because it jumps from one subject to the next within a verse sometimes, just, you know, on down the line. But then it wraps it up in 30 and 31 by essentially two kind of speeches, one by a guy named Agor and another one from Lemuel. He's at the last of this. You can read it for yourself. It says, Mom taught me this. My mother showed me this. And that's Proverbs 30 and 31. But that's the breakdown of the book when you read it. So what does it teach us? It teaches us the whole book through all of its subjects teaches one critical, important thing. And that is wisdom. What's the most valuable possession? Being really, truly wise. It's a key term in the book of Proverbs. It's a key term in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a key term in the book of Job. Certainly other places in the Bible, but those three specifically. That word really essentially means that wisdom is not something that you inherit. Solomon inherited plenty. Wisdom is a skill around making good decisions. It's knowing something and the wisdom to sort of tie it all together with life itself. It's a practical skill that can truly be learned in every way. So you think, well, I can't be wise. You don't know my family background. My family background totally did not teach me this. I'm always interviewing people and talking about what's your background, where are you from, how are you this, and that's important in all of that. But here's the beauty of the wisdom of God, and this is that it doesn't really matter what your background is. God says, I can show you wisdom, but you have to learn it. But it is a skill that can be learned. Most of us count wisdom as like, how were your grades? I asked this question last night to a graduate. What kinds of grades did you make? If you came out with a 4.0 or a 3.8, the student says, man, I made a B. And I said, I made one of those one time. Yeah, you get the point. I was all excited about my B. She was not. But in the middle of all of that comment, you know, we always think it's the straight A student, they're the wisest. Well, knowledge is important. But knowledge is only important when you attach it to the wisdom of what it means and the skill to learn how to put that together. We tend to think of, like I said, wisdom as being kind of a financial investor. How many of you have thought, when the stock market dropped in COVID to 18,000, I should have taken everything out that I ever possessed, threw it in the stock market, and waited till it hit 31,000 again? That's a wise person. Well, you might be a little wealthier, but there's proof in the Proverbs that wealth actually has nothing to do with wisdom. Okay? That's where we tend to think is that more wealth, more fame, all these kind of things. No, life struggle is still real. That's why Solomon, when he meshes with this in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes especially, that the struggle for him is the fact that I've got all this stuff, but don't know what to do with it. I can't make life work. Why? Because money doesn't make life work. Fame doesn't make life work. Health doesn't make life work. We all want health. We all want certainly a little bit more wealth. And we're going to talk about wealth in one of the Sundays for sure. Because the Proverbs, a lot of Proverbs about that. But it's wisdom is the practical living of things out, and I'm working toward it. Wisdom is really what I would call practical life negotiation. It's like taking life and negotiating all the pieces out there. It's actually applied knowledge. It's knowledge applied to my life. And it's something that if you want it, it actually is something that must be pursued. You want to pursue a good job? Fine. Great. You want to pursue a career? Great. You want to pursue a degree in college or a master's degree or some kind of a level in your job? That's awesome. But this is the pursuit that every person really needs to have. That's what Solomon said. That's what God's word would say. That's what the truth of the Proverbs are. It's knowledge carried out to action. It's not like what I often did in school. I studied for a test, and as soon as the final was over, I threw away the book because I don't need it anymore. You ever took Spanish in school, and now you can only count to five? Why? Because you didn't apply it. You didn't use it. You just took it for the test. This is life test stuff, all of Proverbs. So really, wisdom is knowledge carried out, right? Wisdom is a correct understanding of actually how the world works. How does the world work? Remember our wall from the Book of Jesus study? The world works when you build the correct foundation that we built on those major core bricks at the bottom. And then we understand who Christ is and at the top of all of it. Most of us think wisdom starts with me. Wisdom doesn't start with you. Actually, the reality is very little starts with you. Everything of value begins with God, the creator God of the universe. So it's God at the center, and then me as his creation, and then my growing understanding of what my place is in the world. It's why even the Proverbs often, when they talk about your status in the world, they use real illustrations in the world out there. So Jesus did this all the time, right? Look at the birds of the air. You want wisdom? Look at the birds. Why would I look at birds if I want wisdom in life? Well, because they don't worry. They carry out their life, and the seeds fall, and they do all of these things. And yet God cares for them. How much more does he care for you? Jesus used illustrations. That's why, frankly, we talk about the mountains and the hills and the rivers and the waterfalls and the birds and the things that crawl in this earth and the wind that blows and all these things. Look at those things as not just natural pieces of all, but God's speaking to us about our place in the world and how wise we are. Wisdom really is alignment of our lives. It's not just knowledge, but it's submission to what God is telling us is right. That's wise. And wisdom is really distinguishing or telling apart or differentiating between my actions and reactions, the world's actions and reactions, and everything else that may come my way. It's distinguishing between those and the truth of what God would say. I mean, virtually we've all been to the doctor, right? At some point in our life. The doctor comes in and says, you're sick. You're sick. You've got a disease. I've actually personally, at this point in my life, I've never had that. I've had the doctor say you're messed up, but that's for other reasons. But you know, you've got cancer. You've got a disease. Now, that's a horrible thing. Some of you have absolutely had that happen to you. All of us have had family friends who have had that happen to them. Your world gets immediately devastated because it feels like the path that you were walking on at some point to be a healthy, wealthy person along the way, moving forward in life, gets completely, totally, and absolutely disrupted in that way. The fool doesn't know how to distinguish between what is God really saying here? I mean, do you have cancer? Maybe. But I don't want a knee-jerk reaction to that. I want to know who I really am in Christ. What does God really say some things about me? So you've heard, even I've used this term for the last year, this whole reactionary term. And some people don't really quite understand that still, but reactionary people are saying everything in life is based upon my reaction to the way this has happened to me or this has happened in the world or whatever. That's, God says in reality, what you need is the fact that you don't base it upon wisdom upon the culture, wisdom upon the news, wisdom upon other kind of sayings. You base them on the truth of God. So when you're reading Proverbs, recognize those truths. That's why we're calling this whole Proverbs series this summer. It's merging, it's wisdom that is merging God's mind with my real life. It's the merger of those two things. And then it's the submission to them. It's submitting to those truths. And then not just once, but the rest of our days. No matter what your background is, no matter where you're from, no matter what country you were born in, no matter who your parents or your grandparents were, whether you are a biological child or an adopted child, certainly, you know, not based upon any economic value of who you are or any of that kind of stuff. We all have those things. Wisdom is something that can be gained by every person who wants to listen to the Word of God and submit. That's Proverbs. That's Proverbs. And that's why Proverbs 1 verse 7 says these words. Look at it in your Bible. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. God's word doesn't criticize the person who was born in a certain way or a certain place or a certain country. The criticism is the person who doesn't listen to the wisdom that God has laid out for you. That's the fool. You may be the wealthiest person on the planet and be the biggest fool. And frankly, to be fair, some of the richest people on the planet, I don't know them personally, and I don't want to personally criticize them, but just by some of the lifestyles that they lead, they have wealth beyond measure, and sometimes they are the largest fools on the planet. What do you want after? I don't know about you, but I truly have always, this is a true statement for me, for many, many years I've said, God, in my idiotic state that I am, with my messed up brain that I am, and for my academic shortcomings that I have, and my fumbling idiot behavior sometimes, and I apologize to you publicly for some of those things. The thing that I've really always asked for of God is, God, help me be wise. Help me to learn wisdom. And it's not something you just get there and you're done. It's a growing process of it all. So how do you apply this whole book? Again, this is introductory today. Number one, you got to read this thing. It's 31 chapters. I'm just going to ask you, over the course of the next 8-9 weeks, I want you to just read the book of Proverbs. Kevin gave us some assignments about reading John. You want some good summer reading? 31 chapters in however many days that is. I mean, it's plenty of time. 2-3 chapters a week. But more than just read it, I want you to take a pen. This is why I like real Bibles. Take a pen and mark some things. Ooh, I've never seen that. Take your time. Wake up in the morning or before you go to bed at night, pull out the book of Proverbs. In all the other personal reading you do, read Proverbs. Nice and slow. Now, obviously, each week, We're gonna be introduced to the subject, and we'll give you in the interview each week. We'll say, this Sunday we're gonna start with this proverb. So highlight that one, and it's not gonna be in necessarily chronological order, and that's fine. So you're gonna do two things. You're gonna pay attention to the interview and where we're going that week, but you're also gonna on your own read it and circle it and highlight it and think about it and watch for those quotes, those nuggets, those gold pieces along the way, those statements out there that deal with different subjects. In fact, in your own Bible, again, I would circle it and say, this one talks about money. This one talks about my tongue. This one talks about my children. This one talks about my marriage. This one talks about, you know, my money. All kinds of subjects that come up along the way, many, many of them. Look for them. Write them down. Listen for the knowledge that can be learned, and then I would encourage you in any way, Even though we treat the summers a little bit differently at our church with small groups and stuff, obviously groups are still going on in some ways and some take times off and stuff. But at least at minimum, discuss the subject of the day with someone, either in your home or your small group or with your children, especially with your children. There's a proverb about that discussion, by the way. But then begin to think, how do I apply this? I want to give you a warning about something in the Proverbs too when you read them. Proverbs is not an automatic self-help guide. If you do your money well, you're going to be rich. Well, there's some Proverbs in there that talk about that. You raise your kids great. You raise your kids in the way of the Lord, and they're going to be totally awesome. Well, some of you laugh because you go, is that always going to be true? Well, not always. And there's reasons for why he puts it in there. These are, quote, wise sayings about different subjects that actually have a great internal truth in it all, but it's not an automatic lever that you pull and everything in the world goes well. You want to know a good proof of that? Read the book also of Job. He did it wonderfully well and still struggled. But he too became one of the great wise people of the ages. But instead, watch when you read for the Proverbs for the stages and the seasons of your life. Because he speaks, it speaks to the old. It speaks to the young. It speaks to the girl. It speaks to the boy. It speaks to the married. It speaks to the single. It speaks to the wealthy. It speaks to the poor. It speaks to the middle class. It speaks to you. And ultimately what it wraps it up and says, there's wise living. There's only two kinds of lifestyles, right? There's a wise lifestyle and there's a foolish lifestyle. And let me tell you something, guys. We're not going to get this 100% in this broken world. I'm not excusing us from it. But I'm also making sure you understand this is not just to do things right for perfection's sake. That's not the point. I'm doing these right so God will give me. I'm going to give money so I'm going to, like a lottery ticket, get tons back. I'm doing this because God says, boy, you want to really walk a life that can be well respected in every way, no matter where you are in life, no matter what your situation is, then listen to God's word. It's wise living or foolish living, and those are your two choices. The human version of all this is there's 10 steps to a happy life. Well, there aren't 10 steps to a happy life. I'm sorry. This is God's version of saying, you better merge, learn to merge in wisdom God's wise truths with your real life circumstances. So real quick, Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read these again. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, say this. For the gaining of wisdom and instruction. Circle those two words. Why would you listen to these words? I want to learn wisdom and instruction. Those two are meshed. For the understanding, for understanding words of insight. Why? Verse 3. For receiving instruction in prudent, wise behavior. No matter what season of life you're in. Doing what is right and just and fair. Forgiving, I love this line, these lines. Forgiving prudence to those who are simple. You don't have to be brilliant. Forgiving knowledge and discretion to the young. For let the wise, in other words, those out there who really kind of have life together, so to speak, listen and add to their learning. There's no end to this stuff. And let discerning get guidance. You're making a decision. You're making a choice in life. Everybody makes decisions of all kinds. How do I spend my money? How do I relate to my parents? How do I relate to my children? How do I relate to my neighbor? How do I relate to God's people? How do I relate to my boss? How do I relate to my money? All the different kind of pieces. And he says that discerning stuff is to get guidance. In verse 6, for the understanding of proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. And then the last part of all of this is this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools, that is the morally deficient, Fools despise it. They don't want any wisdom or instruction. That's what Proverbs are for. That's who they're for. And the last thing I want to make sure you get is this. Wisdom, even though that is absolutely the goal of life and the goal of every believer and the goal of these Proverbs, but it is based upon the foundational element of what we call the fear of the Lord. That's where it all starts. So what is that? Well, fear is not terror. I'm not, terrorized by God. Although sometimes in the Christian circles, we kind of want to get that feeling of, you better do this or else. It's not a terror. I'm not afraid in the sense that I'm going to run away, because this is not an unpredictable God that we serve in any way. It's not a fear-mongering God who holds things over our heads and say, boy, I'm not going to give you anything to get this right. We understand the grace of God. But it's posture. It's the posture of a life. It's the reverence and worship of a life. It's the walk that we have with God. It's living our life in the total light of knowing and walking with the Almighty God and the constant awareness of Him in all places. It's total respect. So for today, I'm going to stop right here. And we're going to pick up on this next week, and I'm going to preach to you and talk out of one of my favorite life verses, and that is actually Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. If you want to read ahead now, read Proverbs 3. But just, again, start reading the Proverbs. Let God's insight give you understanding, and understanding that the fear and the posture of your life and your walk with God and your respect in every way with God, the fear of God, is the beginning of a wise life that you too can have. As I said earlier, counseling sermons are some that I've given over the years, and I've kind of come to recognize that the greatest counseling in the world is the recognizing of who I really am and who really God is and meshing my life with Him. God's Word is the greatest counseling tool. So I'm going to pray for us right now. You're going to agree to read the book of Proverbs. You're going to agree that, and you can join us throughout the summer again online if you want to, but I'm going to encourage you as much as possible, come here physically so you can mingle with people after church, service at 10 o'clock, but let's grow together in the wisdom of the Lord. I'm going to pray. Our worship team is going to sing, and Chris, you're going to finish us out this morning, okay? Let's all stand together and pray together. Almighty God, help us to grow in our wisdom of You. Help us to grow in our understanding of what You're trying to do in our lives. Thank You for giving us direction. And I pray that even over the course of this summer, that many of us will find these incredible nuggets of wisdom throughout Scripture that we could point to and say, oh my goodness, I need to change here. I want to be a wise woman. I want to be a wise man. I want to be a wise young person. Or I want to be a wise senior adult. I want to grow in wisdom because I want You to counsel me and grow in my life. So we lift up these truths to You and thank You for this time of worship. In the name of Jesus Christ, all God's people said.